Mother's Day, I'll encourage you to open your Bibles to Genesis chapter 3. And I'm going to direct your attention to one verse, verse 20. If you find it, why don't you stand all around the church? Genesis chapter 3 and verse 20. And this is how it simply reads. Said, now the man called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all the living. You may be seated. What I want to do this morning is to dissect this verse, to talk to you mothers in the house about who you should be, what you're called to be, and this beautiful gift of motherhood. Father in heaven, may you now consecrate your word, for here is power. You said your word is forever established in heaven. Not one jot or tittle of this word will go unfulfilled. But fathers, this word is not proclaimed. I pray for the anointing of the Spirit of the living God. It is the only Spirit, the Spirit of God, that can temper the atmosphere, that the word, like a seed, will fall on good soil. And those that will receive it, they will be able to run and do, thus says the Lord. This is my prayer. In Jesus' name I pray. And the church say, amen. He was gentle, but yet tough. He was humble, yet he was resolute. This, perhaps, is the best description of the 16th president of the United States of America, Abraham Lincoln. He presided over this nation in one of the most turbulent seasons in the history of this nation. It was a time when this nation stood on the precipice of disintegration. And through his leadership, he brought unity out of disorder. He is described as a president par excellence. Scholars have ranked him, among the three best presidents of this country. And today, there is a memorial sitting commemorating his life at the nation's capital, a place we call the Lincoln Memorial. But when this great man was asked, who was the most influential person in your life? This is his response. He said, all that I am or hope to be, I owe to my angel mother. Nancy Unk Lincoln, a native of Mineral County, West Virginia, was the mother. And in this little one-room log cabin in Sinking Spring Farm, Hardin County, Kentucky, she was able to nurture this young man to be a world leader. And in essence, she is the unsung hero of the Civil War, because it was due to our direction, a shaping, a molding of the mind of Abraham Lincoln, that he now grew up to have not only the fear of God, but to understand that all men are created equal. But Nancy Lincoln is not the only woman that has such attribute. Women throughout history have been distinguished because many of them have nurtured men, women that have become world changers. And it was this realization that in 1908, that a woman by the name of Anna Jarvis came to begin to acknowledge mothers in the first unofficial Mother's Day. And the date was May the 10th, 1908. And today, all around the world, we celebrate Mother's Day. We encourage mothers, we hold their hands, we send flowers to them to let them know that they are greatly appreciated for what they've done. But as it is with everything in history, times are changing, and the wind of change is battling against that institution of motherhood. And today, there is a radical transformation in who a mother is and what a mother does. And the radical transformation is not going towards that which is positive, but is actually veering towards that which is negative. Like someone once told me, talking about mothers, he said they don't make them like they used to. And the collateral damage is usually the children. As we see in the story of Susan Smith, in love with a man, and in order to keep the love of a man, she drowned her two sons. Now, what about the story of a woman called Alicia Brown, drove all the way from Baltimore City to Maryland Life Casino, went into the casino to gamble for 8 hours, but she left something in the car, left her baby locked up in the car. My brothers and sisters, mothers are not what they used to be. And the poignant question on this Mother's Day is simple. Is the golden age of motherhood gone? Is it gone? Are we now to acquiesce to the change in time? And mothers is to embark on the pursuit of personal happiness at the expense of the next generation. You know, that's the question this morning in the 21st century AD that we got to wrestle with. But we don't have to look far for the answer to this question, because the Bible enumerates and lays out for us not only why motherhood is such a jewel, such a glorious thing, but it tells mothers why you must stay on this race. It tells mothers the need to make the first thing, the main thing, the main thing. And that is those that God has blessed you with. And this morning, I want to be a lawyer. I want to make a case for motherhood. How about that? Let's begin. Let's begin at the beginning. Genesis chapter 1. Go to Genesis chapter 2, by the way. In the beginning, when God created Adam and he placed him in the garden, one thing was missing in the midst of that perfection. God says something was imperfect, and that was man's loneliness. And we're told that out of his rib caused him to fall into a deep sleep, and he took out the rib and formed it into another person. But that person was now brought to Adam. And when Adam saw that person, he said, "This is now bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. She shall be called a woman." So we see now that God now brought these two persons together. The love that will now exist between a man and a woman will parallel, will only be matched by the love that a man will have for God. In other words, that will be a great, unique love that will exist between Adam and this woman. And we're told that Adam and this woman became one, and they were married, because God said, "For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother, cleave to his wife, and they will become one flesh." But then we go to chapter 3. And in chapter 3, when you come to verse 20, again, the man, Adam, named his wife. Now watch it. He first of all called her a woman to symbolize wifehood. Then he now comes in chapter 3, verse 20, after the fall, to name her Eve, motherhood. Pay attention to that. And it says here, and he called his wife's name Eve. Before that calling name, perhaps all Adam was saying, a woman, come here. A woman, did you eat of that tree? But now she has a name, and the name was Eve, which means the mother of all that are living. This is the unction. This is the beginning of this institution of motherhood. That this will not be an institution that is only going to be an endowment of a woman. That a woman will be the only one that can conceive and bring forth life. By the way, pay attention to that. Wifehood comes before motherhood. Are you staying with me this morning? Because we reverse it in our culture. We make motherhood because before wifehood. But in God's grand master plan, you must be a wife before you become a mother. The problem we're having in all these issues in our culture and family are breaking down and there's disintegration is simply because many are getting into motherhood before they try to get into wifehood. By the way, when they get into motherhood, they don't find no man that want to marry them as a wife. Someone help me this morning. Amen. Well, you can write me letters if you want to. That's all right with me. But here we see the beautiful adornment of motherhood. And this is where we begin to now discern the beauty of a mother. What is the beauty that God has endowed a mother with? I want to give you three things, mothers, this morning. You see, motherhood is the source, or what I call the fountain, from which flows life. That is why she's called the mother of all living. Now, we know that God is the author of life and the giver of life. We know that man bears the seed, but the woman is the incubator. The woman is the place where when the seed goes, the seed now is formed. Into a fetus, from a fetus to a child, and it's molded, and God takes the womb of a woman as a craft room where it shapes and molds, puts in the DNA, puts in all the parts, mold the legs, mold the eyes, mold the body, mold the mouth, and after 9 months, they come forth. Only a woman can give birth. Some might say, man does it, but you got to check what he did before he did that, amen? I ain't going to say it out loud, but he must have done something to himself or herself before he, amen? Leave that alone, Pastor Wally. Don't even talk about that. But only the woman can give birth. Now, we know that God has even bypassed the man. Because in the story of Mary, God said, I don't need Joseph to do nothing. I got a master plan because she is the fountain of life. I just need Mary because Joseph, I don't need. I need Mary. And out of Mary, God was able to come in the presence of his Holy Spirit so that she gave birth to the living child, the Theanthropos. Mothers, you are unique because out of you flows the fountain of life. Mothers are also unique. Because mothers is a caricature or like a parallel that embodies the love of God. The Hebrew word rakam, from where we get the word compassion, actually comes from a derivative of the word breast. Not the breast of a man, the breast of a woman. So at times when the Hebrews said, God rakan, it showed compassion. He said, like a female, God draws you near to a chest. To his chest, rather, draws you near. The reason I believe the Hebrew word is used to describe compassion as the word that depletes a woman is because the woman actually serves as an embodiment of true love. Mothers, they don't sleep. When the baby don't sleep. Brother man snoring. Arr. Sister got to get up. 4 hours, every 2 hours when they first come home. Then every 4 hours. Then hallelujah when they sleep all night. Amen.
but ain't done yet, because it comes to soccer practice. Is the woman PTA meeting? Is the woman you go to court? Is the mother? Can someone help me this morning? And I don't want to degrade you, brothers. I know some of you do a wonderful job. Some of you are awesome fathers. Amen. But there's something about maternal love that is unique. I got a son. He doesn't come give me a hug and say, "Dad, I give me a kiss." He goes to his mama. And they give themselves that tight bro, son, mother, hug. But for me, he gives me a bump on my chest. I got you, man. Give me a bump on my chest. Man, don't do that. Amen. But there is something about that that no uniqueness of a mother's love. That is why you are unique, mothers, because you actually are embodiment and impersonation of the agape that God even calls us to have. Because you have that towards your children, don't you? You have that. And most of you here will lay down your life for them and your love for your child. And by the way, mothers, because at times we love our child, we don't tell them the truth. Now, I need just to put this there in passing. Because you as a mother, don't let your love blind failures or wrong. Make sure that though you love, tell the truth. If your child is wrong, they are wrong. Don't try to tell them because. No, because is not there. It is wrong. It is wrong. Tough love is part of God's love. What is the uniqueness of motherhood? The uniqueness of motherhood is because it's in motherhood that God has designed that the life setting for a child is built. You know, long before the child goes to pre-K, or go to whatever level of high school or college or elementary school, the home is that classroom. The first teacher is that mother. It's the mother that tells the child, listen, say thank you when you get something. It's the mother that at times bow with the child by his bedside or bedside, say, now let us pray. Now I lay me down. It's the mother. She is that teacher. That is why motherhood is so unique. It's so important. That is why it's a precious jewel. Because the founding, the setting of life comes because of mothers. Comes because of mothers. And we praise God for our mothers. That is why the drift in our culture, we as Christian women, or you as Christian women, must be able to say, no, I'm not doing this, because this is a sacred call. Motherhood is a ministry. You are pastor mom. You're teaching the next generation. And while we have denigrated the notion of motherhood, while many are pursuing careers and running after the pleasures of life, while people are making daycare to be mothers, where they only see their child for quality time, 1 hour at night, and they spend hours at the job, and the daycare becomes the mother. This is not what God is calling mothers to do. Oh, yes, I know you need a job. Oh, yes, I know you need to do this. But the ministry God has called you to is the ministry of motherhood. Well, Pastor Waller, listen. Tell me about this calling. Let me put it to you like this, mothers. Your calling as a mother has eternal ramifications. Why does he have eternal ramifications? Because you are now a steward of God's precious gift. Remember, you didn't get pregnant by accident, by the way. Some of you are trying to do family planning so you don't get it. And when it comes, say, oh man, that was an accident. No accident in God's kingdom. Children are a gift from God. Everyone you got, God gave it to you. So in essence, you are stewards. And it is expected of stewards to be trustworthy and faithful. Why, Pastor? Because God will one day hold us accountable. like he's going to hold me accountable as a pastor. He's going to hold everyone accountable for the gift that he has given us. And to whom much is given, much is going to be required. That is why this calling in this notion of motherhood, it's a serious business. It must not be something that we denigrate or we reduce to just mere triviality. We must not exchange it for the pleasures of life and for the pleasures or passing pleasures of sin. Mother's responsibility abounds. You are stewards. Number two, the calling of a mother has generational ramifications. Whether you believe it or not, how you raise your child today might affect four or five generations to come. If you, as a mother, invest time in nurturing and in teaching this generation, next generation or two generations to come, your glory will still be revealed. Because children are like sponges. You begin to deposit, they soak it up. They learn, they understand, they know the mother's legacy. And how many of you sitting before me this morning are a product of generations of faithful mothers, are a product of generations of mothers who refuse to give up, that when everybody gave up on you, they pressed on, are generations of mothers that come from generations of mothers that took you to church every single Sunday, whether you balk, whether you didn't like it, and some of you never liked it. You sneaked out of Sunday school. You go take yourself a cigarette on the side. But mama never gave up. Mama never gave up. She sat in the church. She saw you act up. She smacked you up the head. Mama never gave up. And today, the reason you are bringing your child to church is because of the legacy of a mother. That is why Paul can say, Lord, listen, Timothy, I remember the sincere faith in you, but it wasn't because you got it at bracket drop. It was because there was in your grandmother called Lewis, and it was in your mother called Eunice. Because it's a generational thing. And mothers, this morning, you got to learn that you have a gift that should keep giving. You have a gift that should keep giving. Because God is saying the next generation is in your hand. Oh, Pastor Wally, what about man? Timothy's father was a Greek. Implication, he didn't know the Lord. He didn't probably come to church. But Lewis, Eunice, they did their job. And my brothers and my sisters attended to you this, especially mothers. You don't have to wait for no dude to lead you to what you need to do if you ain't there. Go ahead, take that step. If God be for you, who can be against you? Some of you got to say, he doesn't go, I don't go. No, you are convicted. Because he doesn't go doesn't mean that you can go. You got to say, come on, everybody. Let us get out of here. Let us go. Because there is power in the house of the Lord. But my brothers and sisters, I close with this to you to understand. My mother, God bless her. She's in glory now. And as a young man growing up, I was not a preacher. I was a rebel without a cause. But my mother gave me a different name apart from the name they call me. He said, you are a child that I need to care for. I was the last of three. A mother never failed. She was never perfect, but she never failed. She never failed to raise me right. She never failed to teach me the oracles of truth. And the reason I can stand behind this holy desk is because I'm standing on shoulders. I'm standing on the shoulder of a mother that prayed for me. And one day, the Lord seized and arrested me. It's because she gave me a gift that now she keeps giving. And my brothers and sisters, attended to you this morning. The gift of motherhood is a prime gift. And as a mother this morning, seize the opportunity. I beg of you to be the best mother you can be. May I remind you, you're not perfect. You're going to fail as a mother. You're going to get some things wrong. But listen, that's fine. That's fine. God will make all grace abound. And as mothers, if you bear the cross and you do that faithful which God has called you to do, he has promised you that heaven, you will receive a reward that's going to be much more than you give out. So mothers this morning, I wish you happy Mother's Day. But I tender to you the need for you to press on, push on. Don't be like the world. Take your job, take your calling seriously. Let us pray. My Father, my God, this morning, I honor you, Lord God. I honor you for the gift of a mother. I honor you, Father, for every mother that's under my voice. I honor you. And Lord, I begin to pray and give every mother here the grace to be the best they can be. Some mothers under my voice say, Pastor, you don't get it. I can't be a full-time mother. I got to feed them. I got to clothe them. I got to put a roof over their head. What are you saying? Yes, God knows all that. That's why you got to help in Jesus. That where you fall short, it will be there with you, holding you close. And this morning, I don't want you to think that Jesus doesn't know your pain. Jesus doesn't know your care. And some of you might be mothers this morning under my voice that your child are gone. And you say, Pastor Wally, I can't go back and do those things again. But you got another ministry. You got a ministry of prayer. That everywhere they are, you can pray for them. That a God of heaven will do for them what you could not do. That a God of heaven will strengthen you, will strengthen them rather. And God hears the prayer of a mother because God understands the pain of childbirth. And this morning I pray for all you mothers, even this time that this word has been declared, that it will be efficacious in this place, that the glory of your holy name, Father, will be seen and will be known even among your people. This is my prayer. In Jesus' name I pray. And it just says, amen.